Romans 5 verse 12, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to the men, because all sinned. For until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which come through the one who sinned. For the judgment which come from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can be seated. This is such a powerful piece of scripture. Some theologians say this is the most difficult part of the New Testament, but such a critical part for us to live day by day and moment by moment. Now, there's a lot of terms in there: righteousness and judgment and sin. It's almost like we as the church became scared of these words. We don't want to hear about judgment. We don't want to hear about sin. But sin came in through one man. The Greek word for that word is anthropos. So it's not really man, it's man and woman. So sin came in through Adam and Eve. And when sin came in, death came in as well. So the whole parallel that is happening here in this portion of scripture, Paul wrote this, but remember always that the Holy Spirit was inspiring Paul to write this. There's a reason this portion of scripture is in there. And it's all got to do with death that came through Adam and life that's coming through Christ. We're looking at two men. The one man, Jesus Christ, and I had a subtitle there, reigning by him. He was the last Adam. The first Adam is the Adam we know in the garden. It's the Adam that sinned. So when Adam sinned, when he was disobedient, when the enemy came to him, there was only one law in the garden: don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the enemy knew this, and he tempted Adam on that one thing. Nowadays, there's many things that the enemy can tempt us on, but there was only that one rule or that one law in the garden. And when he chose to disobey, there was a principle of disobedience that came into effect there. Before that, there was no sin in this world. This planet had no sin. The only sin that there was in the heaven. And that happened when Satan, which had everything, Satan was the most beautiful creature in heaven. Satan was music. That's how God created him. When Satan moved, it was light and it was music. But when Satan looked at that throne one day, I call it one day, but it was eternal time. There was no chronos time. But a desire to sit on that throne. He said, why must God sit on that throne? Why can't I sit on that throne? In that moment, sin entered into the heavens. And when Adam sinned, when he listened to the enemy, sin entered into this world. And this portion of scripture, we can read that first verse. It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin. We must realize that Adam was the head of man. When he acted, he was acting on behalf of everybody that was ever going to come from him. So when Adam sinned 6,000 years ago, we sin today. We sin today. There's no time difference. That's what Paul is trying to say here. We sin now because Adam sinned then. This is the old man. Corinthians calls it the old man. God said to him, Genesis 2, we can read that portion. I think it's Genesis 2 verse 17. God told Adam what's going to happen if you eat from that tree. If you go in your Bible to Genesis 2, verse 17. Remember that Adam had a beautiful relationship with God. There was joy in that relationship. There was a peace in it. There was a contentment. The Bible says that God came every night. And he came and dwelt with Adam and Eve. There was a relationship there. There was righteousness there, which means a right standing with God. There was a good relationship. There was communication that was happening. We go one verse back, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you must surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. What was so bad about this tree? What happened there in the garden, we still have today. That we have a choice today to be dependent on God or to be independent from God. There is God's way. If you read the book of Acts, you'll see that they talk about the people of the way. There is God's way and then there is our own way. We want to do things a certain way. We want church a certain way. There's God's way and there's our way. When he ate of that tree and this knowledge of good and evil came to him, he didn't need God's wisdom anymore. He could rely on his own wisdom, could make his own choices. He didn't need God's strength anymore. He didn't need that righteousness in the relationship between him and God. He didn't need that anymore. He could function on his own righteousness. We call it self-righteousness. Nothing has changed. 6,000 years later, nothing has changed. We still have this choice today. You see how clever the enemy was to take his eyes off God. I'm talking man, like man and woman, anthropos. He took their eyes off God and he put it on themselves. It's not so much that they went and bowed down to Satan and started worshipping him. I've got this saying that sin, the letter in the middle of sin is I. And sin normally revolves around I. We miss the mark. The Greek word is hamartia. We miss the mark when we take our eyes off God and we start looking at our things. How are we going to solve these things on our own? That's not what God intended. Okay, let me carry on in the next verse. Now you can go back to that slide, John. So you understand that when sin came in, death came in because of sin. Let's talk a little bit about death. So this sounds like very morbid subjects to talk about. But our life is about life and death. Jesus gives us life. We're going to talk a little bit about life just now. There's various aspects of life. But when he said to Adam, you're going to die, what did he mean? Because I don't see in the Bible that Adam died. He stayed alive for another few hundred years. Had more children, grandchildren. So God was saying to him, my relationship with you is going to die. When you eat of that tree, when the principle of disobedience come in, our relationship is going to come to an end. The spiritual capacity of Adam to talk to God ended. And God took him and put him outside the garden. Because he didn't want him to eat of the tree of life, and he would have stayed in that state forever. God already there saw Jesus coming. And God already had a plan. When he clothed Adam and Eve, God had to kill an animal to clothe Adam and Eve. There was blood, innocent blood that flowed. God already saw Jesus on the cross. So this death was a spiritual death. And that death that came in because of sin came through all the generations. Still, up till now. We're sitting with a spirit man that is dead. Until the day we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. That he died for us, that he was a substitution for us, that he went to hell for us, that God condemned him, punished him, that his blood bought us from sin and from death. That moment, life comes into our spirit, man, and we have a relationship with God again. Remember that God is spirit. I think it's in John 4 when he talks to the woman at the well. He says God is spirit and he requires worshippers. So when we worship here in the morning, we are all worshippers. When we go out here, we are still worshippers. God says, I'm looking for worshippers that will worship me in spirit and truth. Because God is spirit. And therefore we can only talk to God by our spirit. Our spirit communicates to God. And he communicates to us by his spirit. So this is when life, but we'll speak about life just now. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. So Adam was a type of Jesus Christ. That's why just now I called him the head. He was the head of men, or of man, anthropos. And that's why what he did when he was disobedient had an impact on all the generations of them. And we're going to see now in the same way, Jesus Christ, what he did, had an impact on all of us. We are sitting here because of what Jesus Christ did. So we handled that the sin came into the world, but he says their sin was not counted where there was no law. So basically up till Moses, when the commandments came from God on the mountain, when he gave him the laws on the mountain, there was no law in the world. And you know, if you drive down the road outside, you know that it's 60. You can't go higher than 60. You don't see the 60 boards anymore, but you know 60 is the maximum. And when you go 70, you know that you're breaking the law. But say, for example, there was no speed restriction. You can go 70, you won't be breaking the law. And this is what he's saying here. Up till Moses, there was no law. So God couldn't impute sin to man. Because there was no law. Let's talk a little bit about the law. Was the law bad? I mean, God gave Moses spent 80 days on that mountain. Eventually his face started shining with the glory of God. So could this law be bad that God gave to him? God wrote it with his own hand. It came from God. But the intention of the law was always to live it from the heart, not from outside. We can worship here this morning, but it can only be from the outside. Our heart doesn't always engage necessarily. So the intention of the law was always to live it from the heart. And Jesus said this when he came to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with everything that is within you. Love your neighbor as yourself. In this, all the law is fulfilled. Remember Jesus saying that? That's the only way to live, is to live by love. And that's why God gave the law. There was nothing wrong with the law. It's just that man made it an outward show. Man wanted to perform. Man wanted to do works that other men will recognize. But law was between God and man. And when Jesus came, he gave us now, we handled that in the first, in the previous chapter in Romans 5. He says he came and he poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So what wasn't possible for men then, because their spirits was dead, is possible for us now. Because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an example in Jesus Christ. His love is poured in our hearts, so we can love perfectly. We are not perfect, but the perfect love is in us. As we look on Him, this perfect love engages and we start loving people around us perfectly. We will love our enemies perfectly, just because of this love that is in us. So we said that Adam is a type of Jesus, a type of one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. So what is this free gift that he's talking about? We've seen it now from Romans 1 all the way up to Romans 5. The free gift is righteousness. God gives us His righteousness. Remember what Adam did? When he ate of that tree, he moved into his own righteousness. And that's when his spirit man died. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our spirit man comes alive. God gives us freely His righteousness. We can't work for it. We can't do anything to obtain that righteousness. And behind this righteousness is sitting the life of God. We call it Zoe. In Greek it's Zoe. It's this abundant life. So think about Adam. Adam sinned, and because he sinned, death came into man. Now comes the second man, or we call him the last Adam, Jesus. Jesus is righteous. Jesus is obedient to his Father. So we see there the principle of obedience, where Anna was walking in the principle of disobedience. And because Jesus was obedient, because he was righteous, life flows through that righteousness. Can you understand the whole comparison here between the two men? That's what the Holy Spirit is showing here. Okay, let's go on. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. Let's go back a bit, John. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. Okay, next slide. But the free... For if... Okay, I'm missing something there. Let me just read it in my Bible. Looks like something is missing there. Okay, Romans 6. Okay, we are at verse 15. No, we're on Romans 5, sorry. Romans 5, verse 15. So he says here, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. and the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. So now he's playing with condemnation that came on all men because of Adam, because he sinned. Against Jesus that brought justification. What does justification mean? It means that there was a court hearing in heaven, and the accuser came, Satan. He accused man of sin, and because Jesus came, and because man is now believing, we are believing in Jesus, God is saying, Ains is innocent. I see the blood of Jesus, my son, on Ains. He's innocent. Sin has been dealt with. Hamartia, the root sin, has been dealt with. So I see the blood of Jesus on him. He's innocent. That's what justification means. So we can't be condemned anymore. Romans 8 verse 1, three chapters further, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when you are feeling condemnation, when you are feeling shame, it's not from God. And it's also not from yourself. This is from the enemy. With God comes peace. Peace is different from condemnation. Peace is that rest that Adam initially had in his relationship with God, and that we have now in our relationship with God. Verse 17, for if because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So this is the highlight of this whole portion. Jesus is saying here, the Holy Spirit is saying that because of Jesus, we don't have to yield to sin. We don't have to yield to disobedience. We can look in faith at Jesus Christ, and we can live a life of obedience. And because of that life of obedience, we can experience his life, his overcoming life today. Not in the next world. We're going to speak about the next world later on. But in this life, we can have overcoming life every day. We can overcome the circumstances. Does that mean that the bad things that's coming to us is going to stop? They're not going to stop because there's an enemy. But it's got to do with how we handle, how we respond the things that is coming to us, that the enemy throws to us, that life happens with us. How do we respond to that? And this portion of scripture is encouraging us, because of this righteousness that there is in Jesus, there's life that flows through. This life is powerful. He says that Jesus is, he calls him the fountainhead. I was a couple of years back on top of the Drakensberg, where the Tugela River starts. The Tugela River becomes a mighty river flowing through Natal to the sea. But where I was in the amphitheater, I don't know if any of you have ever been there. It's a small little stream. I mean, if it's cold, it freezes. The top of it freezes, and you get this trickle of water underneath. So really, we call that a fountain. It's the beginning of a stream, the beginning of a river. Jesus is like that. And from him flows grace. From him flows mercy. Favor flows from him. He is that fountainhead. He is that life that started way back and is still flowing through his church today. And that life will keep on flowing. But we'll get to that just now. I don't want to run ahead. Okay, where are we now? For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that is what I just said to you guys. This life is for every day. But there's another aspect there where he says it will lead to eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's almost when I was preparing this, it was almost like I was put on a high mountain, and picture yourself on a high mountain looking far into the distance. And you can see so far that you're seeing the next world. You're seeing the world that is coming. The world that Jesus Christ, when he comes, is coming to restore. Remember, salvation is not just about our spirit man being restored. It's also about creation being restored. When Adam fell, the world fell as well. Creation fell as well. Everything is going to be restored. New heaven, new earth. So that when he talks about eternal life, he's taking this life from the fountainhead, through it, our daily lives, and the church up till now, their daily lives, into the next world, where his eternal life will be. And where we are functioning now in him, we have righteousness in Christ Jesus. We are reigning in Christ Jesus. In the next world, we will reign with Christ Jesus. There's a difference there. But he's preparing us, and he's encouraging us with the scripture. Listen, my life is flowing through you. As you believe in me, as you look at me, my life is flowing through you. There is nothing this world can throw at you that this life is not enough for that. This life makes you to reign in this world. I'm not preaching prosperity here. Prosperity in, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where he says, I pray that you will be prosperous in your spirit, your soul, and your body. But what I'm preaching here is the life of Jesus Christ flowing through us, making us overcomers in this life. If you read Revelations 2 and 3, you'll see how important being an overcomer is to Jesus. So Jesus is not interested in performance or performance. Our life here, day by day, is very much based on performance, not with Jesus. You can read the seven churches, you'll see at the end of every church, he says, those who overcome, I will give him the crown of life. Those who overcome, I will give him a white stone, I'll write his name on that stone. I will give him the tree of life, he can eat the fruit of the tree of life. It's healing for the nations. You'll see all these promises that Jesus himself is giving in Revelations 2 and 3. When you overcome. So this is the recipe for overcoming. Is righteousness in Jesus Christ and his life flowing through that righteousness. And it is against what happened with Adam. Adam was disobedient, he sinned. And because of that, death came into man. And that is all. Let me pray for us. Father, as a man, it's not always so easy to give the message that you, Holy Spirit, originally inspired in these verses. But Holy Spirit, with what the light that you are giving us this morning, I pray that you will be merciful with us, Lord. Now we will run this race today, tomorrow, every day, not giving up, but overcoming in this life, reigning in this life, because you are King. You are the King of Kings, and we are looking at you that has overcome already. You overcome death, you overcome sin. So we praise you this morning. We give you all glory in Jesus' name.